Let's read this text in English. And in the coming weeks, we'll begin a new series, although it's part of what is on the heart of the Apostle Paul. Let's read this text, first of all, before we make a few comments about it. It's Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 21. And remember that this is part of an overall topic that he began in verse 15 about walking carefully or circumspectly, wisely. Okay? So verse 21, Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. Because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Jesus Christ is head of the church. And he is also the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. On the other hand, husbands, you are to love your wives just as Jesus Christ also loved the church, by giving himself for her, in order that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but rather that she would be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their very own bodies, because he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just like the Lord does for his church. Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Jesus Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is a wonderful text in Scripture. It is a teachable moment for our church. It is a teachable moment for every single one of us, no matter how long we've been Christians, no matter how long we've been married, no matter what our relationship in life is. And the Apostle Paul, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, has been instructing and teaching us how and what it means to live a practical Christian life and to be victorious in our Christian life. So when we come to the end of our life, we can look back and say that it was worth living this life for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul has taught us that God has called us so that we would walk worthy of the holy or the high calling with which God has called us. And in the last couple of months leading up to this text here, we've been reading about being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that means. What that means, beginning with verse 15, is that our life is to be lived carefully, thoughtfully, in the presence of God. Unfortunately, most of our lives, we get up in the morning and we're already behind the clock. We woke up too late, we rush through everything, we are stuck on the freeway in traffic, and by the time we get to the office, we're already late. And the day just accumulates in lateness all the way to the evening. And they rush to get home, and a rush to do the things you do at home. And before you know it, you are totally exhausted. And it's time to get a little rest and begin the carousel all over tomorrow morning. That's not very thoughtful, is it? Isn't there a better way? And Apostle Paul talks to us about this. Paul says that I want you to be wise. Do not be like the world that is unwise. You know what another word for unwise is? It's the word foolish. It's the word that means nothing between your ears. It means something that has no weight. Foolishness. In the Greek, there's another word that in English is translated moron, which means a person that mentally is incapable of thinking. He has a mental deficiency. And scripturally, that is the type of person that is incapable of comprehending the truths of God. One of the results of being wise, of walking carefully, of living worthy of the calling with which God has called us, is to be continuously on a minute by minute, on a day by day, on a month by month, on a year by year basis in our life, to walk and be filled with the Spirit of God. And I want you to think back, and hopefully you took some notes in the last couple of months of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command that we are to do day in and day out. This is not our salvation when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit and united with the church. No, this is a daily being filled with. This is daily being fed with the Word of God and being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit of God so that our life is wise. So that the words we speak are a result of the knowledge of the Word of God that saturates our brain and our heart. So that when we speak, we're speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs about the wonderful works of God that He has done in our life, especially our salvation. And that translates into a heart that explodes with music and glory and praise to God. A heart that is thankful for what God is doing in your life. And this life is demonstrated in the way we react with each other. And Paul calls this submission. Submission is being under the authority of somebody else and fulfilling the wishes of somebody else voluntarily. Not because the person is stronger or more powerful or more authoritative than you are, but because you understand that God has established in society a system of authority or a hierarchy of authority. And in this text that we just read, and on into chapter 6, Paul will show us that a result of being Holy Spirit filled results in our submission in all relationships of life, beginning with husbands and wives, where the husband is the head of the wife or in the authority of the wife, where the parents are the authority for the children. Where in society we submit to every law and ordinance that society places on us, regardless of whether the politicians in Washington are godly or evil, we submit because we do it for the Lord or as to the Lord. And as a result of the fear of God in our life, the reverence for the Word of God, the holiness of God, the sinlessness of God that we understand and comprehend as Christians as a result of the Holy Spirit teaching us these things. Isaiah at the end of his book says that the man who understands these things trembles at the Word of God. When you hold the Word of God in your hand, does it put a tingle down your spine? Knowing that everything that Paul wrote here, God actually said. And God had a purpose in writing it and for us to read it today, this morning, here in Hollywood. Very sad that many Christians approach this text, approach Scripture in general, and approach church as if you're going out to lunch at the local buffet. You know, you all go to a buffet once in a while, and you have a certain mental attitude when you're going there. Many of you right now can see that buffet of different kinds of food. In your mind you're saying, well, that particular food in the corner, I don't like it. And I'm not going to eat any of that today. But this other food, I will have a lot of it. I will have two portions of it or an extra portion. You know, a lot of Christians come to church that way. Well, that text, that's for my wife. And the wife sitting there nudging her husband in the rib saying, this is for you. You know the text that you want to hear. Sometimes God has a text for us that maybe we're not quite prepared to accept. And my prayer is that you would approach this text. This is a long text, and it's going to take us many, many weeks or perhaps months, I don't know. We will allow the Holy Spirit to teach us these truths. As long as it takes for us to learn these truths and to practice these truths. So that when we look at this text and when we look at the life of every couple in our church, or every single one of you that is single and looking forward to entering into a marriage relationship, that these truths would be God's word and that these truths would differentiate our church and every member of our church from society around us that thinks differently. And you might say, well, I already know this, and I think I understand this correctly. You know, let's approach this text, and this is my prayer as I've been preparing for the series, that God would allow us to approach this text as if we never before read this text. As we begin next week to look at marriage, we will discover that we know more about marriage today than the church Paul was writing to. The church in the New Testament time had three different influences on it. It had a Greek culture to it. It had a Roman culture to it. And it just had a secular culture to it. And each one of them influenced some of the members that were part of this church when they came to faith in Jesus Christ. And so part of what Paul is teaching here, that to us we think we know, the New Testament church here in Ephesus, they didn't know these concepts or these truths because of what it meant to be a woman and a wife in that time, and what it meant to be a child in that society, and what it meant to be a slave in that society, and what it meant to be a citizen of the Roman Empire. And so Paul puts us all in perspective, in a Christian perspective, and makes a contrast to the church, the called church. The church is the ecclesia. It is a group of people that God has called out of society. Remember Israel. God took Israel out of Egypt into the desert and taught them how to be his people. And so I'd like to just kind of end on that today, and we'll pick up with this next time and begin to talk a little bit more about what it means to be submissive to the Word of God. And as you go home, I want you to read and remember Colossians 3, 23 to 25. Let's read that and let that be the basis of our thinking this week as we come back to this text next Sunday. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Everything you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid or rewarded for what he has done, because there is no partiality with God. Paul repeatedly combines the word submissive with the word love, which is an integral part of marriage, integral part of children and parents and employees and employers and citizens in a society. And most important, this reflects, and our attitude towards this text reflects our attitude towards Jesus Christ, because we are part of his body and part of his church. And so may God bless his word today. And I look forward with great trepidation at opening up these texts and sharing them with you in the coming weeks and months. Amen.